The Islamic Republic has always said it, and now the U.S. Secretary of State has admitted it. U.S. policy towards Iran is one of regime change. The U.S. justifies its stance by accusing Iran of being a destabilizing force in the Middle East. However, the reality, as pointed out by the Iranian Foreign Ministry, is that the U.S. has been meddling in the country since the 1950s. We discuss that and a lot more in this edition of The Debate with me, Waqar Rizvi. Our guests for this debate are former American intelligence linguist Mr. Scott Rickert, who is joining us live from Orlando. And we're also joined by former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense Mr. Lawrence J. Korb, who is joining us live from Washington. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us. Mr. Korb, I'll start with you. What do you make of Tillerson's warning that the U.S. will work to bring a peaceful transition in Iran?
Well, I think what Secretary Tillerson was saying, that he wants to encourage those people in Iran who want to have a more democratic government. And in fact, we've seen in the last two elections that Iran is moving in that direction. Certainly, President Rouhani is much more moderate than former President Ahmadinejad. That's the way I took it, that he, it's not that we're going to send any arms in or anything like that. In fact, the policy of this administration, no nation building, no regime change. I think that's what he was saying that he would like, and we'd like that in all the countries around the world where people have more rights and protections and freedoms like we do in this country.
Mr. Rickert, that's interesting, isn't it? Because for most Iranians, ever since the Islamic Revolution took place, there has been democracy in this country. It hasn't been more democratic or less democratic ever since.
Well, the Iranian people have probably one of the best democracies I've seen, witnessing this last election with 75% participation and a landslide for Rouhani. Rouhani is probably one of the best spoken leaders in the history of our time. Very eloquent, very poised. Compared to Donald Trump, there's just no comparison. He's a very crass Donald Trump and extremely unprepared for his position, whereby Rouhani has led his people throughout a tremendous amount of illegal sanctions. And let's be clear here, when they're talking about a peaceful transition, they are talking about manipulating elections and trying to do another green movement within Iran. Thankfully, I think the people in Iran understand the kinds of actions that go on with the quote-unquote NGOs or USAID and other government-funded organizations that act on behalf of the American government to do things like regime change in other countries. So I think that Iran has learned its lesson. It's unfortunate that they had to learn their lesson for nearly 25 to 30 years under the control of the Shah of Iran that was a puppet put in place by the United States on behalf of the United Kingdom. So I think what you see here is you see a magnificent country that's fought against the hegemony that's been imposed on the region, not by Iran, unfortunately, the way that Tillerson says it, because his policy understanding is massively confused. Tillerson does not understand the history of the region, and if he does, he's acting very corruptly alongside the individuals who have made it so. And so now I see that Iran has been excellent at exposing the operations of the Americans in Syria, alongside the Russians and alongside the Syrians. They've done a great job, basically putting back the tremendous amount of chaos that the Americans and their allies, the United Kingdom and France, and other NATO partners alongside Israel, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar. You know, what's interesting now is to see the battle between Qatar and Saudi Arabia. The United States isn't choosing sides. They're continuing. Today, they just actually approved another $12 billion worth of F-15s for Qatar at the same time when Donald Trump has said that Qatar is supposedly basically supplying and supporting terrorism, when in fact we know that it's been Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia also gets on average about $30 billion a year of weapons sold to it from the United States. So this is a tremendous amount of hypocrisy on the United States part, very irresponsible and certainly criminal. Okay. And once again, we have another administration that slipped into the shoes of Obama and his predecessors.
Mr. Korb, you know, Iran's foreign minister, Mohammad Javad Zarif, has responded to Tillerson's comments, and he's pretty much pointed out that, you know, the Americans should really worry about their own democracy and their own regime, because Iran just had elections where about 75% of the populace came out to vote. That's, I believe, a percentage which the Americans can only ever dream of getting.
Well, that's true. I mean, one of the reasons our people don't turn out to vote is they're pretty content with what happens, and regardless of which party gets in. I think you're going to see that change after President Trump, because a lot of people are
Both candidates are horrible choices.
Go ahead, Mr. Korb.
I didn't interrupt you with all the stuff you said. And let me tell you something. I'm a political scientist. I've got all the data that shows that people don't turn out.
You're politically corrupt. You're politically paid for, bought and sold by the Zionist Party.
Okay, let's just hear out Mr. Korb, and then I'll get to you, Mr. Rickard, for a response. Mr. Korb, go ahead.
Okay, so we've never had high turnout, even in the 40s and 50s, and so that's and there's no doubt about we should have more turnout. I think you're going to see more after people are concerned that Mr. Trump won unexpectedly. In terms of, you know, our policy, President Obama was criticized for not getting involved in the Syrian civil war. We left Iraq. We shouldn't have gone in the first place, but we did leave Iraq. We went back in to rescue the Yazidis on Mount Sinjar, and we have a small number of troops there. We're not fighting to get Raqqa. In fact, we've been criticized for arming the Kurds to fight Raqqa rather than sending in American troops. And we have not gotten involved in the Syrian civil war. So, and if you take a look at, you know, the sanctions bill that just was passed, it was not just Iran, it was also Russia. The sanctions against Russia are much more extreme. Primarily, they tried to undermine our election the last time. Whether they succeeded or not, we don't know, but the fact of the matter is they did try and undermine it.
Okay, so Mr. Korb, let me just stay with you. I'll get to you, Mr. Rickard. Mr. Korb, I wanted to push you on that point you just made, because you brought up Russia, so I wanted to ask you this. You know, if America has a problem with alleged Russian influence in its elections, why then should Iran, for example, be okay with American Secretary of State saying, hey, we want essentially regime change in your country?
Well, again, you could interpret it that way. That's not the way I interpret it. I think what he was saying is we want to encourage the more moderate elements, because there are things that are done in Iran that some people don't like, okay? And people leave the country and come outside the country and complain. So I think that's the point he was trying to make. Now, did he make it as eloquently as he could, or could you interpret it wrongly? No, but we have no intention of going into Iran to try and do anything. As I say, we've learned our lesson about, you know, Iraq. The big thing we're concerned about now is what are we going to do in Afghanistan? And let's, you know, focus on coming up with some sort of coalition after Raqqa falls and ISIS. We're fighting with Iran against ISIS. So I think, and as my colleague just mentioned, the deal with Qatar, one of the things the GCC countries are upset about them was their relationship with Iran, but yet we still sold them the planes, we still have a military base there. So I think, and Tillerson is one of the people, you know, pushing to have the deal with Qatar.
Okay, so Mr. Rickard, you know, Mr. Zarif, the Iranian foreign minister, certainly would not have read into Tillerson's statement incorrectly. I believe, and you know, most of the Iranian officials have understood it for what it meant to say. So, I mean, I'm wondering again then, Mr. Rickard, going back to this issue of Russia, again, alleged meddling in U.S. elections. America is in a frenzy, is in chaos about that issue. Everyone's angry about that within the United States. Why is that a problem versus Tillerson saying, hey, let's have peaceful transition in Iran? Why is that okay?
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, it's incredibly hypocritical when you have the fact that the Americans have been probably one of the most notorious nations behind the United Kingdom in manipulating not only elections, but also overthrowing governments around the world for decades. Now, you also have the fact that if you want to really do some investigation and who had the most influence on the United States elections, let's take a close look at Israel, and let's take a close look at the Zionist movement in the United States and how influential they are at manipulating American politicians and American elections, American government, American finance, American geopolitical foreign affairs. There's a tremendous amount of influence that comes out of the pro-Israel parties and the pro-Israel infrastructure that's not only in the United States, but in the United Kingdom as well. And no one is investigating those groups. Those groups have free rein to do what they need. Now, being said, Iran has never tried to influence American elections. And at the same time, even if Russia did inform Americans about some of the nefarities going on, the nefarious natures of the operations behind the DNC and other things, my hat's off to Russia. Thank you for informing the Americans. And in fact, I wish you would do it more often, because Americans have been particularly lied to on a massive scale when it comes to not only their politicians, but also their geopolitical affairs, because they have individuals like Lawrence Korb who are deliberately or naively misleading the American people. So at this point, I would say the best case scenario could come out is that the Russians would get more involved in American elections and help us understand what's going on behind the scenes, because I believe that the Americans are incredibly misled by American media. I challenge any of the media agencies out there to allow spokesmen like myself and others to speak on American television. They do not allow it. It's absolutely absurd. The other day I was watching Oliver Stone in New York City, and he was actually with Stephen Colbert, and he mentioned the same thing I said when they mentioned the Russian affairs. He basically said, you know, if you really want to investigate anyone, look into Israel and look at the kind of influence they have on our election. And they cut that part out of Stephen Colbert's show. That's the kind of censorship, and that's the kind of country that we live in.
Mr. Korb, you know, this entire issue and Tillerson's statement today has brought something back to the fore, which officials of the Islamic Republic have said from day one. They've always said it was never really an issue over the nuclear energy program with Iran. It's not really about defensive ballistic missiles, but it's about the fact that Iran is an Islamic Republic, that the Islamic Revolution did occur, and it's a country which stands independent of all others when it comes to its policy making, and that really, really annoys the United States. What do you make of that, Mr. Korb?
Well, I think there are other things. For example, when I was in government, we had 240 Americans killed in Lebanon by a group that was affiliated with Iran. We also had Americans kidnapped in Lebanon, which President Reagan had to pay ransom to get them out, pay ransom to the Iranians. So it's not that the United States is perfect, but neither is Iran. They have, you know, done things. And groups like Hezbollah are not democratic liberal groups. You know, they use violence to achieve their objectives. And I think that's what, you know, people are concerned about. Secretary Kerry did not support these sanctions. I agree with them. I mean, the nuclear deal is doing fine. And, you know, we need to understand that. Iran doesn't help. Technically speaking, the ballistic missile tests are not a violation of the letter of the deal, but certainly the spirit, because they say in the deal, you know, Iran is, encouraged not to continue to test ballistic missiles. And again, I don't want to get in, you know, for example, the majority of the Jewish people in this country vote Democratic. So the idea that somehow, and then of course, Prime Minister Netanyahu didn't like President Obama, but the majority of Jewish people did vote for him. So I don't want to get into that type of thing. But
I think, not Jewish, it's not Judaism,
basically,
it's Zionism.
Okay, I mean, but again, if they Obama wouldn't have been elected, if you follow your reasoning here. And that's the point I'm trying to make. So I think it's important to keep in mind the nuclear deal
is
working.
Nonpartisan.
Tillerson said they are keeping it.
Okay, let me just come in here because we're quickly running out of time. I do apologize. Mr. Korb, I just wanted to stick with you for a moment.
Okay,
Mr. Korb,
go ahead. And
Mr. Korb, I wanted to ask you, Mr. Korb, because, you know, when you're talking about the JCPOA, i.e. the nuclear deal, and saying that, you know, Iran is not following the spirit of that deal, we could flip that narrative and talk about the United States and the fact that the United States, according to Iranian officials, is not giving banking access as it had promised it would do. So, in fact, Iranian officials say it's actually the United States was not following the spirit of the nuclear deal. How would you respond to that?
Well, again, there's no doubt about the fact that because of statements made by some American leaders, a lot of the international business community is concerned. But a deal I want to watch here, and it's interesting, whether President Trump allows Boeing to sell the airliners to Iran. And I think if he does that, that'll move in the direction that we need to.
Okay, so Mr. Rickard, you know, a lot of this, as I said, comes back to the fact that Iran feels that because it is an independent country, that really irks the United States, and it wants Iran to be essentially a satellite, as many of the other countries in this region are as well. How do you feel about that, Mr. Rickard?
Well, clearly the United States looks to actually control the hegemony in the region. If you see the amount of bases that are deployed throughout the region, they absolutely surround Iran. But let's be clear here when we talk about the United States actions against Iran. Not only are they not fulfilling the requirements under the JCPOA, they're also, you know, guilty of war crimes against Iran on a massive scale. If you look at the kinds of work that was done under the 0 days, the Olympic Games virus that was put on Iranian nuclear energy development, and the kinds of activity, that was cyber warfare. And the Americans, alongside the Israelis, conducted real cyber warfare against Iran, and Iran did not retaliate whatsoever. Just imagine if the tables were turned and Iran was conducting cyber warfare on American energy, nuclear energy facilities. It would be a tremendous outrage in the United States, and they would spread it across the world. So I think that we have just basically an extremely hypocritical view of Iran. Iran has done nothing wrong to its neighbors. It's endured tremendous amounts of activity on the Iraqi side as well as the Afghani side for over a decade and a half. You're seeing tremendous amounts of real patience coming out of a people who have been tormented by not only the United States, but prior to that by the United Kingdom. So obviously, you know, it's not necessarily the sovereignty as much as it is the imperialistic hegemony in the region that has been really affected by the United Kingdom and the United States for over 100 years.
Okay, gentlemen, we have about a minute left, so I wanted to get both of your final comments. Mr. Korb, I want to start off with you. Do you think intervention in any country's leadership, be it democracy or otherwise, has worked for the United States?
No, it hasn't, and that's why we've given up nation building. That's what Trump campaigned against. He's not going to do that anymore, and I think we've learned that. And as I say, Obama was criticized for not getting involved in Syria or Libya.
And Mr. Rickard, how do you feel about that?
Well, that's absolutely untrue. We're still continuing nation building. We're still selling weapons at the massive scale that was upon Obama. We're still bombing at the same scale that was under Obama. To say that we're not doing nation building, every single one of the actual wars in which Obama was involved in, not only has Trump escalated, he's actually given more rein to the military-industrial complex, and he's absolutely taken away any type of oversight from the executive office. So, unfortunately, regime change is continuing, and unfortunately for the rest of the world, watch out. The Americans will drop tens of thousands of bombs again this year.
Okay, gentlemen, we'll leave it there at that. But of course, we do appreciate both your contributions to this debate. That was former American intelligence linguist Scott Rickard speaking to us live from Orlando. And we were also joined by the former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense, Mr. Lawrence J. Korb, who was speaking to us live from Washington. And of course, viewers, we appreciate you joining us as well. Until next time, good night.